Hey, it's Kate. This is the fourth episode of Uncontrolled Substances, the cerebral story. If you haven't listened to the previous three, start there. They're already in your feed. Rachel Forbes is an engineer in Seattle. She's 27 and struggles with anxiety.
Generally, my anxiety presents itself as racing thoughts, kind of like a runaway train. They just go and go and go, and no amount of logic can really stop them.
Rachel spoke to our colleague Khadija Safdar, and Rachel said that during the pandemic, she couldn't find a therapist who could help her. Until February this year, when she saw an ad for Cerebral.
And I clicked on it.
What drew you to Cerebral?
Cerebral was the only one that had the addition of medication management with therapy. I liked that there was that potential. I wouldn't have to start therapy online and then go looking for a psychiatrist in my area.
Rachel signed up, and the next day she had her first appointment with one of Cerebral's nurse practitioners.
Everything she said just seemed very confident. Like, she understood exactly what I was going through. She was like sympathizing with me and asking me clarifying questions to figure out like the exactness of everything. And by the end, I felt really hopeful.
In that appointment, the nurse practitioner prescribed Rachel an antidepressant called bupropion, also known as Wellbutrin. Rachel would have to take it every day, starting with a low dose before going up to a full dose. And she was keeping track of how it made her feel.
So the first couple days when I started on the initial lower dose, I was feeling okay. There was some like mild nausea. I had a couple headaches. And then at the point where I hit the day where I was supposed to increase dosage, I was still feeling okay. Nothing major was happening. And then I increased my dosage. So my symptoms start increasing. My heart rate is going up like crazy. Not just like I had run a marathon, but like I was actively running for my life.
Rachel found one side effect really alarming.
I was starting to get really worried, most specifically about the lack of eating. Not eating a full meal in a couple days is really concerning for someone like me. I have a history of an eating disorder. And so I did some more research online and I saw the medication bupropion is not generally recommended for people who have a history of eating disorders. And I reach out to the care coordinator. And I wait, and I wait.
What reply did you get?
I didn't get a reply.
After about 36 hours, Rachel says Cerebral still hadn't responded to her message. So she drove herself to urgent care, where she says a doctor helped her make a plan to get off the medication.
And she was concerned, not only because I was having such severe reactions to the medication, but also because the person who had prescribed it to me was not available.
Rachel went home. And the next day, Cerebral responded to her. But the reply didn't give any guidance. It said a technical error prevented Cerebral from getting her message.
It was like, where is the care here? Where is the dedication and basic duty of a medical professional here to provide these services? Like, this isn't just a medical professional. This is also like a service that I'm paying for. And I'm not receiving anything at this point except awfulness.
When we reached out to Cerebral this week, the company didn't comment on Rachel's case. But it said it provides clinical guidelines and relies on its providers to use their professional judgment in making clinical decisions for patients. We also reached out to the nurse practitioner who met with Rachel, but we didn't get a response. In the end, Rachel canceled her subscription to Cerebral.
After that trust being so incredibly broken, and also being essentially put through a major crisis because of what they gave me, there was no way to move forward with them. I will never trust them again. No matter how much they change, no matter what they do, I can never trust them.
Distrust of Cerebral was spreading, and not just among some patients. Soon, it would spread to pharmacies, to those inside the company, and to federal investigators. Cerebral was facing a crisis. From the Journal, this is Uncontrolled Substances, the Cerebral story. I'm Kate Linebaugh. This is part four, The Reckoning.
This episode is brought to you by Vonage. With Vonage Video API, your developers can easily create custom video experiences tailored to your business. Enhance every conversation with live video, whether it's delivering faster tech support, improving customer service, or enabling interactive meetings and events. Unlock the true video potential of your business. Discover how at Vonage.com.
At the start of the year, Cerebral celebrated its second birthday. In 2 years, the company had become a star in the telemedicine space, with tens of thousands of patients and a valuation of close to $5 billion. CEO Kyle Robertson talked in TV interviews about his big dreams for Cerebral.
We launched in January 2020, and we've expanded to all 50 states, right, in record time. But we're thinking, okay, you know, unfortunately, mental health challenges don't discriminate by nationality, right? Yeah. So how do we think about expanding beyond the U.S.?
But this spring, Robertson's big plans started to crumble. That's when our colleague Rolf Winkler wrote his first story about online prescriptions for ADHD. That story came out at the end of March.
Nurse practitioners were uncomfortable with the amount of Adderall prescribing that was happening. And when that came out, that was something that I think caused a lot of people to take notice.
Some nurse practitioners at Cerebral left the company over their concerns. And clinical staff weren't the only ones quitting. So were a lot of Cerebral executives.
There was a VP of finance, two VPs of finance, a general counsel, a head of HR, a head of data, VP of clinical operations, another interim head of HR. There were a lot of people leaving, and quickly. Some of these people didn't last very long. A matter of weeks, sometimes, or months.
Rolf spoke to some of the employees who left.
A lot of people were skeptical of Kyle's leadership. And we certainly spoke to a lot of sources who just said Kyle had a particular management style that drove them away.
What did they say about his particular management style?
They were saying that he was very focused on growth, very focused on patient retention, very focused on things that a tech company would normally be fixated on, but in a healthcare context, that gave them pause. And they also talked about how he was very controlling.
We asked Cerebral about these accusations, but the company didn't respond. We reached out to Robertson about them too, along with other questions for our series, but he declined to be interviewed. In April, Rolf broke another story. Some big pharmacies had been watching Cerebral for months.
But the Journal reports pharmacy workers say these telehealth providers are in some cases writing way too many prescriptions for stimulants like Adderall.
CVS and Walmart were blocking or delaying some of those telehealth prescriptions.
You know, the pharmacies, they look at this and you got to see it from their perspective. They're coming out of the opioid crisis and they don't want another crisis like that. They've been held liable for that in some cases.
Three major pharmacy chains have been ordered to pay more than $650 million in damages, all related to the opioid crisis.
So they're on guard for controlled substances that are too easily prescribed. The pharmacies also have analysis teams that are watching for the controlled substances that are being prescribed across their footprint. And they're looking for patterns. Is there a particular doctor or nurse practitioner who's prescribing a whole lot of a controlled substance, a whole lot of Adderall, for instance? Maybe that's suspicious. Maybe we need to ask the company what's going on there.
Days after the pharmacy news broke, more accusations emerged.
A former executive has filed a lawsuit now claiming he was fired for objecting to company practices. Cerebral has been accused.
Cerebral's former VP of Product and Engineering alleged that Robertson told employees to find ways to prescribe stimulants to more ADHD patients with the goal of keeping subscribers. Cerebral has denied the allegations made in the lawsuit. The company has said the former executive was a poor performer. We reached out to the executive, but he declined to comment. Then, in early May, another pharmacy took a big step away from Cerebral. TruPill, the online pharmacy that mailed Cerebral prescriptions to patients, said it would stop filling all prescriptions for controlled substances used to treat ADHD, like Adderall. At the time, TruPill said it was taking this step, quote, out of an abundance of caution while it evaluated next steps. Cerebral had to take action. It told its clinicians to direct those prescriptions to patients' local pharmacies.
It's bad reputationally for Cerebral's brand. People would ask, is this a trustworthy medical provider if there are pharmacies that won't fill its prescriptions?
2 days after TruPill's announcement, Cerebral got more bad news. Here's Khadija.
The Department of Justice started investigating Cerebral around controlled substances and its procedures around how it was prescribing them.
A number of people Rolf and Khadija spoke to have been interviewed by federal investigators, including Wendy Kroll, Anthony's mom. Cerebral has said it's cooperating with the investigation and that it hasn't been accused of breaking any laws. The investigation is ongoing. The same day Cerebral got the subpoena from the Justice Department, the company made a major announcement. It would stop prescribing stimulants like Adderall to new ADHD patients. Cerebral would continue prescribing controlled substances for other mental health conditions, and it would continue treating existing ADHD patients with stimulants. But this decision represented a huge shift for Cerebral because it was backing off from a key area that had fueled its growth. And it turned out the big changes at Cerebral wouldn't end there. That's next. Trouble was mounting at Cerebral. Big pharmacies were pulling away. Executives were leaving. The Justice Department had opened an investigation. And inside the company, three members of Cerebral's board thought something needed to be done. They represented some of the company's biggest investors.
One is Westcap, their biggest investor. One is SoftBank. And the third is a firm headed by Lynn Blavatnik.
These three board members wanted to fire Robertson, but they couldn't do it alone.
There are seven board seats at Cerebral. Kyle has control of three votes.
So Robertson has three, the investors have three, and there's one more vote.
That seventh vote is crucial. That's Jesse Horowitz. Now, you remember the text Kyle got from a director asking, is Adderall in Cerebral pipeline? And after Kyle says yes, the director responds, awesome. That's Jesse. That's Jesse Horowitz. Kyle supported Jesse as the independent director, that seventh director, in part because he felt Jesse would support him, our sources said.
To fire Robertson, the three board members wanted to get Horowitz on their side. So they wrote a memo.
We believe the CEO's guidance to circumvent expert clinical advice and follow his growth directive created the market perception of Cerebral as a, quote, pill mill.
That's Rolf reading from the memo, which goes on to say that Robertson created a toxic culture that prioritized the growth of the business over patient care. And they accuse Robertson of lying to them.
And one thing they called out is they said, look, Kyle has not been upfront with us about the size of the ADHD business. It's a bigger part of Cerebral's business than he's letting on. They said that Kyle had told them, look, the ADHD is 5% of our business. And then they say they find out that it was actually 20%. And they said, look, this dishonesty fundamentally alters the controlled substances profile of the company, fundamentally alters the risks that this company is taking.
And then on Monday, May 16th,
Kyle lost access to the company's systems, email, Slack. The writing was on the wall that Kyle had lost Jesse's vote. And so the move is on to fire him.
But Robertson wasn't giving up.
The board gets together. It meets via Zoom. And Kyle submitted a letter to them. And in it, he said a lot. One thing he said was, quote, I'm hearing from several parties that you all have colluded to make me the scapegoat for prescribing controlled medications and providing care for ADHD. He goes on, this is not something that has ever been hidden from the board. Indeed, the board was provided with the details in multiple fundraising and other decks on ADHD. But, you know, it was too late. It was too late. The board voted to fire him.
Robertson was out from the company he founded. He's called his termination illegal and continues to fight with the company. In another letter, he called out board members for pushing Cerebral into stimulants. He said they encouraged the company to expand into controlled substance prescriptions to boost revenues. The board didn't look far for a replacement. It installed Chief Medical Officer David Moe as CEO. Moe had been with Cerebral for over a year and was in charge of patient care. He was also closely involved with the company's ADHD strategy.
They wanted to put a doctor in charge because Kyle didn't have a medical background. He had no medical training. They wanted to put somebody in charge who has an MD and had some credibility, more credibility in medicine. So I think that was a key part of it, was just to put a new face at the front of the company.
Rolf interviewed Moe over the phone the day he took over in May. And Rolf asked whether his appointment as CEO was an actual break from the past.
You know, really proud to share with you today how excited I am to lead this extraordinary team.
You've been here since February 2021. The contention is, you know, and this is from a lot of people who observe the company as well, David's been there the whole time. He's been overseeing the treatment protocols, the prescription protocols, anything that is a problem that is being rolled back and the company is admitting mistakes. Why doesn't he bear some responsibility for that? He's been in charge of it. How do you respond to this?
Yeah, Ralph, I would say I stand by our clinical systems. I've always stood by from the second that I came in and created this system. I stand by our quality. I stand by our safety.
But the reality is you guys cut off controlled substance prescribing, right? You cut off, you paused ADHD, and then you cut it all off. Those were your clinical systems, and you don't stand by them anymore. In fact, you've decided we are rolling this back. We don't want any part of it. We've changed our minds.
So, Rob, right? That's inaccurate. That's inaccurate. Those were not mistakes.
What
so, so the fact that you're calling them mistakes, that's inaccurate, right?
Okay.
So,
How would you characterize it?
Yeah, so this is what I would say, right? So the past 2 years, right, there have been many differences in state and federal regulations, and we intend to comply with them at all times. So we, and one of the important things that we're finding out is that the federal regulations are going to be basically, I mean, you know, this Ryan Haidt is going to come back, right? So we want to prepare our patients in the best way possible so that they are ready for that.
The Ryan Haidt Act is the federal law that requires an in-person appointment for the prescribing of controlled substances. It was put on pause at the start of the pandemic, which allowed Cerebral to prescribe meds like Adderall. We asked for a follow-up interview with Mo, but Cerebral declined. Cerebral has continued to face challenges. Walmart and CVS said they would stop filling all controlled substance prescriptions for Cerebral. The company has also been dropped from two insurance networks, Aetna and Optum. Meanwhile, another investigation is underway. The Federal Trade Commission is now looking into Cerebral's marketing practices. Cerebral said it intends to fully cooperate with the FTC and is working to improve its service for patients. And this week, Cerebral said its partnership with Simone Biles has come to an end. Cerebral's business is now a fraction of what it used to be. This fall, the company laid off about 20% of its staff as part of what Mo calls an effort to streamline operations.
He's fired a lot of people, and he says he's cut back on marketing, and at various times tried a little bit of a PR blitz, giving interviews. He wants to put a different face on the company and try to put it on a footing to succeed and really bring it back to its original business model, which was anxiety and depression.
So what does the future look like for Cerebral?
Despite all the controversy, they're not going anywhere. They raised $500 million from investors. It's a huge pile of money, and they've burned a lot of it, but they still have a lot left, which means they're not disappearing anytime soon.
Cerebral wasn't the only telemedicine company to prescribe controlled substances. And while it's mostly pulled out, others are still diagnosing ADHD online and prescribing stimulants like Adderall. Cerebral says that under Mo's leadership, the company will continue its mission to provide much-needed access to mental health care. Throughout this series, Rolf and Khadija have spoken to many people who believed in that mission. People like Carl, the marketing advisor, nurse practitioners like Shelley and Ashley, and even patients like Rachel. People who all saw Cerebral's potential.
Telehealth provides a great opportunity to increase access to a whole bunch of people that can't get to an office, you know, or maybe there's just no provider nearby. And so let's bring a provider to their living room. That makes a lot of sense. You just have to make sure those providers are in a position to deliver the highest quality care. And that wasn't what Cerebral was doing.
What we learned with Cerebral is that this wasn't just like people getting easy access to medications. This didn't just happen all by accident. There was company decisions that were made along the way and strategy that was put in place for this outcome to happen.
Uncontrolled Substances is part of The Journal, which is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. This series was reported by Rolf Winkler and Khadija Safdar and hosted by me, Kate Limbaugh. This episode was produced by Enrique Perez de la Rosa and Pia Gadkari, with help from Matt Kwong and Pierce Singh. It was edited by Maria Byrne and Catherine Whalen. Fact-checking by Nicole Pasulka. Sound design and mixing by Nathan Singapak. Music in this episode by Peter Leonard, Nathan Singapak, and Blue Dot Sessions. Our theme music is by So Wiley and remixed by Nathan Singapak. Special thanks to Rick Brooks, Brad Olson, Marcelo Prince, Sarah Platt, and the entire Journal team. Thanks for listening. This is our last new episode of the year. We're off tomorrow, but on Monday, we'll have something special for you.